from enemies foreign and domestic. It's Alex Jones.
Thank you for joining us. The 19th day of December 2010. We're going to have a jam-packed transmission for you on this Sunday. Coming up, we have Senator-elect, soon to be the actual senator here in just a few weeks, Rand Paul joining us. Then former Congressman Bob Barr weighs in on the growing police state and the TSA groping, expanding all over the country. And, of course, you know, the TSA has now started groping on the highways, the bus terminals, and they're making millions of union workers get a Homeland Security authorization to even have a job. You have to file an application, not to work for the government, but to have a job, period, in a union as they seize control of the infrastructure. And then Dr. Mercola on all the poisons in our environment and ways to protect yourself from it. He's coming up in the second hour today. Again, it is the 19th day of December, 2010. 10, our next to last Sunday broadcast of the year. I guess next week's, I'll be the last of the year. So again, I appreciate everybody joining us this evening. I know that there's other important things you could be doing, like watching NFL football or going to a topless bar and getting drunk. No, but being serious, folks that tune into this show understand that liberty is everything. Liberty and freedom, and the freedom to not be a slave and to control your own life and destiny, is the engine of everything wholesome and good in this world. And as the corruption of the New World Order comes out more and more, the system is doing everything it can to stage terror attacks, to fearmonger, and to try to force us back into submission as seeing the state as our big mommy, our big daddy. They want us to be basically forever like ignorant children being led around by Big Brother, Big Sis. But the issue is Big Brother and Big Sis do not have our best interest at heart. Big Brother and Big Sis literally are feeding on us like wolves feed on sheep or cattle. And that's why they've got all this new legislation we've been covering in weeks past dealing with WikiLeaks. And that's why they're moving so hard to try to pass the different cybersecurity legislation and the different legislation to put you in prison for life or worse if you leak any type of secrets or if you're a member of the media and you report on it. But I agree with Ron Paul. He said it best that telling the truth is not treason. Plus, Julian Assange, who's now been released from jail, is on bail, is not an American to begin with. You have to be an American to engage in treason against the United States. But the real people engaging in treason are the corrupt politicians who've gotten into power and who have sold us out to the crooked offshore banks who are now literally not just sucking this country, but the entire world dry right now. Meanwhile, the United States is continuing, the New York Times reports, to build a case for conspiracy by WikiLeaks. And there's open talk of a federal grand jury impaneled looking at some type of espionage indictments against Assange or others. Will they indict Cass Sunstein, the White House regulations czar, who first announced WikiLeaks 3 years ago in an op-ed piece in the Washington Post? Will they go after George Soros' right-hand man publicly funding WikiLeaks? Or the Chinese dissidents, admittedly on CIA payroll and connected, who are the heart of WikiLeaks? Again, Assange is clearly a puppet. I salute much of the work of WikiLeaks, but this is being done as a 9/11-style attack, a false flag attack on the Internet, and to create a chilling effect. There's open discussions of indicting the New York Times, going after their different reporters or editors for publishing WikiLeaks material, or going after Guardian reporters. But in England, the government already has D notices to block anything that any story that violates national security. So why has the Guardian been allowed to do this over and over again? Because it's part of a larger program. So they can get corporations and government scared, and the insiders can get all of this anti-free speech legislation rammed through. So regardless of what you think of WikiLeaks, if you believe in the First Amendment and free speech worldwide, you've got to say no to people out there promoting the execution of Julian Assange. You know, give me a break. They should not make telling the truth illegal. All right, folks, we'll be right back with Senator Rand Paul, Congressman Bob Barr, Dr. Mercola, and others. Stay with us at InfoWars.com.
Of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
All right, he's promised to come back in the new year for longer. We've only got him for about 10, 15 minutes right now. How amazing. Senator-elect Rand Paul going to the Senate. Senator, I just want to say congratulations to you.
Well, thank you. It's good to be with you again, Alex.
My first question is, they threw everything they could at you, one of the biggest demonization campaigns in modern history. It failed. What does that say about the dinosaur corporate establishment media?
Well, I think it's amazing that, not only did they throw the kitchen sink at us, they made up a few things along the way. But what I would say is that the mainstream media doesn't control the process anymore. I think there are so many other outlets where people are getting their news. Talk radio is a big one. The Internet's another big one. And I think also that the scare tactics of saying, oh, so-and-so is going to take away or cut off your grandmother's Social Security doesn't work anymore, because people realize that if we do nothing, no one will have Social Security, no one will have Medicare, because the politicians have basically spent all the money, and there has to be some reform. Whether you like it or not, there's going to have to be some kind of entitlement reform.
Well, moving quickly through these questions, again, you're gracious to join us. Obviously, I'm sure you know that Cass Sunstein at the White House, commissioner of the FCC, said freedom without government control of media was an aberration. They're really moving in right now to try to curtail free speech. What's your concern with that, Senator?
Well, it's funny. I've been concerned about the fairness doctrine ever since I was a teenager, and I can remember writing to a conservative leader back then, and the conservative leader said, oh, we need a fairness doctrine because the liberals are controlling all the radio and the television. Now it's funny. It's the opposite. Now that there's more conservative commentators, the liberals want to stifle the conservatives, but I think free speech is free speech, whether it's a liberal commentator or a conservative commentator. And that we shouldn't have the government involved in deciding what we hear on the radio waves, what we read in the newspaper, what is written in books.
Senator, obviously you're watching the lame duck Congress try to legalize illegal aliens with the DREAM Act, trying to further gut society, trying to pass the food safety bill, which was written by Big Agra to shut down local farms and ranches. Boy, I tell you, they are really showing how disconnected they are. Are you going to try to lead in the Senate to make sure that whatever horrible things they do, like Obamacare and other things, are repealed?
Absolutely. And the other thing is you got to wonder why, when we just had such a big historic mandate of an election, that they're trying to ram all these things through in a lame duck. Of course, we know why, but the thing is we shouldn't let them do it. The people have spoken and elected, nearly 100 new people in the House, 13 new people in the Senate, that we need to wait till the electoral process has been allowed to occur and the new people get there. So, yes, anything they try to do in this session, I think we will try to reverse. And I think that you're already hearing people. People are saying that let's wait for the new people. That's what Senator DeMint said today. Let's wait for the new senators.
Absolutely. They've certainly been rebuked in their activities, but they're like a bunch of drunken sailors trying to steal as much as they can. Speaking of your father, headline, Ron Paul, author of In the Fed, to lead a panel overseeing central bank. Are you going to join with your father in an attempt to get rid of the private Federal Reserve system that won't tell Congress where the trillions went?
Well, how exciting is it to have the probably historically the number one critic of the Fed being in charge of oversight of the Fed? That's got to excite people throughout the country, and I think a lot of good will come of it. I think the first thing we have to do is try to audit the Fed and have a real meaningful audit of the Fed. I was amazed at the coalition my dad put together. Over 330 people in the House signed on to it, 30-some-odd people in the Senate. And yet, like so many legislative shenanigans, they stole victory from him and they gave us a watered-down audit. But even the watered-down audit, we're getting some information about what the Fed bought. But boy, he could really get through, if he could get through a real audit, I will be supporting and introducing that in the Senate as well. So I think the potential for us shedding some light on what the Fed does is enormous.
A lot of folks obviously want your father to run for president. Are you thinking about, or are you getting questions, Senator-elect, about running for president yourself?
Well, no, but it's very complimentary to get such a question. But, you know, I think I haven't even really been sworn into my first office, so it might be premature for me to be thinking about it.
Well, it was the same
office.
Thing with George Washington. He went right from general to president. I mean, we need doctors and farmers and people to be senators and presidents. We don't need, you know, the lawyers. I mean, it's so great that you and your father are both doctors. I mean, you're there right now seeing patients today in between this interview. Your victory is our victory, and I just want to commend you.
Well, I appreciate that, and I know you've got a lot of loyal listeners, and we hear from them, and we meet them across the country and all across Kentucky. I end up running into your loyal fans. But the interesting thing is that we're going to do some things that have never been done before, in the sense that as soon as I get there, I'm going to talk about and introduce a bill that will cut a significant amount of spending. We have a bill we're working on that will cut $500 billion worth of spending, and that's where we've got to start. And I think the American people are ready to hear it, because the American people know that we're mortgaging our future to China, that we're printing up the money to pay for these massive debts, and that ultimately, as the day of reckoning comes closer and closer, we are in fear of destroying our country if we don't do something about this. And so I think people are no longer afraid, at least I'm not afraid, to go ahead and introduce significant spending cuts and say, look, if you're serious about this problem, you need to vote for this.
Absolutely.
We'll have a discussion.
Senator, sorry to interrupt you. We've only got about 6 minutes left with you here today, and I've got so many questions. MSNBC was deceitful. They lied about what your real views were. They tried all sorts of dirty tricks. They said, if you don't like Obamacare, you are a racist. We now learn that hundreds of millions of dollars from your father's even partial audit of our tax money went to General Electric and to MSNBC. How creepy is that, to know that a government media source like the Kremlin or something went after you?
Well, and the weird thing about it also is that, you know, I tell people that once upon a time our dollar was backed by gold until about 1971, at least partially. From 71 to about the year 2005, our dollar was backed by at least U.S. Treasury bills, debt. Wasn't the best thing in the world, but it was the least. It was government debt. From about 2005 on, though, it's backed by, I guess, buying GE, MSNBC, backed by buying used car loans, basically backed by what the government calls toxic assets, things that you and I and no person with a rational investment mind would ever buy. We were forced to buy by the Federal Reserve buying it. But that's essentially what backs the U.S. dollar now. Toxic assets are now what we pyramid the dollar on, and that is worrisome.
Incredible. Dealing with the carbon tax, when you said, I've got a message from the Tea Party to Washington, we're going to stop you from this carbon tax. California went ahead with it. A 20% tax, they're already got over 30% unemployment, 60 Minutes reports. What are you going to do as a senator, sir, to try to aggressively block Obama from implementing his agenda by stealth through the EPA and FDA and other groups?
Yeah, that's one of my biggest fears. And one of the things that through the election I learned more about our government was that I was amazed and appalled to know how much the unelected bureaucrats are doing. And that basically if something fails in the Senate or in the House, they simply do it anyway through these bureaucracies. And so part of the reform agenda that I think the Tea Party stands for, one of the items that I will push for is sunsetting all regulations. Basically, if they pass a regulation, it has to be voted on in Congress by a certain period of time, maybe 6 months, maybe a year, but it cannot just be put on the books by unelected bureaucrats. And really, we're in danger of having the government run by these standing bureaucracies. You know, the founding fathers talked about standing armies. Now what we have is a standing bureaucracy that we need to fear. And we really need to have governmental reform. And that's a big thing that I'm going to be pushing as part of what I call the Tea Party platform.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. It's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Dealing with the TSA, we had your father, the honorable congressman and medical doctor from Texas, where I hail from. We had him on about 3 weeks ago, and it made national news and the Drudge Report and ABC News and other places. He hadn't really complained about it previously. He was against the TSA and its groping and radiating people. But now the TSA is announcing they're going to continue sticking their hands actually in people's pants. They only grabbed him on the outside of the pants. And same thing happened to former Governor Ventura. Now the Indian ambassador says she'll never come back here again. That's in the news today. I mean, who runs things, the TSA and Homeland Security or the Congress? Plus, what are the feds doing seizing control of transportation? Now they're expanding out to the roads. They're putting telescreens in Walmart with Napolitano, giving people orders. What's your take on all this Orwellian stuff, and what's your plan to deal with that?
Well, I think it's amazing that after 10 years, we still don't have a frequent flyer plan. It just shows you the incompetence of the federal government that, you know, my father flies twice a week. My brother-in-law flies three or four times a week. Why is there not some sort of voluntary program or private program where you could volunteer to have a little more background check, but do it voluntarily, and have a private group that you do it, and then you fly through the airport or walk through without obstruction? There's no reason why this couldn't be done, except for the government does not seem to be able to do anything in a logical fashion. And so instead of saying, well, let's investigate certain people who are flying in from certain countries, most of the danger, I think, at risk on the planes is people coming from other countries. So why don't we look at those folks, you know, look at the flight plan of who's coming to visit us from certain countries and do some investigation in advance of those folks. But I think we're wasting time on the millions and millions of Americans who aren't a threat. And when you waste so much time on those people, you don't have enough time to spend on the people who truly are a threat.
Well, Senator Rand Paul joining us live, only a minute or two left. They know that the American people aren't the threat, but the MIAC and Homeland Security report, again, your father, it said if you have a Ron Paul sticker, that's the enemy. Returning veterans, it was in the news yesterday that TSA's harassing our returning troops. I mean, you're being diplomatic, and I respect that, but what do you, I mean, in your gut, do you agree that this is just a federal power grab, and they want to train us, normal citizens, to basically submit like we're criminals in a prison?
Well, I think the danger anytime you give a government agency so much power is that exactly what Rahm Emanuel said about government, you know, let no crisis go wasted, let no crisis deter us, or, you know, let's use those crises to go ahead and foment and use government to grow larger and larger. So, yeah, there is a danger, and what they do is they suck in some well-meaning people, and they want the power to say that it's going after terrorism, which none of us want terrorists to be allowed to attack our country. But in the process, we all get swooped up in it, and all of our liberties get infringed upon. And that's the real danger in these things. Mm-hmm. But it always works upon trying to show you something that is rational, something that people don't want to have happen. Nobody wants another terrorist attack. But in doing so, then everybody gets lumped in together, and our freedoms get eroded and taken away.
Last question, sir. Obviously, there are a lot of Republicans and like Boehner, who it was in Bloomberg, was going to try to block your father getting the committee chairmanship that he was already supposed to get in seniority, and blocking so many others. He's a protege of Newt Gingrich, who supports global warming taxes and globalism. I'm not trying to get a fight going between Republicans, but we've seen former Senator Trent Lott brag in the news that, hey, we're going to co-opt all these new senators and House members. I would hope that if you do see the co-opting, that not only we know you won't sell out, we know that, you're honorable family, you're an honorable person, values are what matter, but hopefully you'll blow the whistle and truly lead and let us know about who the good guys are and who the bad guys are. We know Senator DeMint's good and a few others. Well, what's your basic statement on that? I mean, are they already trying to pull you into the smoky rooms?
Well, I think what's interesting is that we've already had an impact, and we haven't even gotten up there. And I think they have heard the message, and you've heard some of them saying, you know what, we heard the message of the election. But the real devil is in the details, and, you know, of what these negotiations are, what happens behind closed doors. And I will do my utmost to shine light on that, but also to stand up in the Senate and say, this isn't what we're going to do. We have to do something about the debt, and we can't just keep spending money. So, yeah, I think you'll find that I will be a voice that will look for opportunities at every turn to try to slow down their agenda and also to correct things. And I think that that's not really been done in the past because so many of the people who get elected have been in office forever and ever. I've never been in office before, so I think it gives me a perspective where I haven't been beaten down by the system, and I go there really, truly with the belief that I can and want to be part of a movement that changes our country for the better.
Yes, sir. In closing, and I know you've got to get back to patience, one caveat here. I know that we do need to cut spending. You've called for cutting defense. I believe you said by $100 billion. That's large. That's substantive. But also, don't we need to say no more bailouts? If somebody like Paulson comes down there again, like happened in October 2 years ago, and says, we're going to have martial law, we're going to have collapse if you don't do this. I mean, what do we do at that point when they try to hold our financial system hostage again? I mean, what are you planning to do at that point?
Well, I think you need to have people who are brave enough and confident enough in their belief in freedom to stand up and say, we can survive a bankruptcy, and also to point out that AIG's bankruptcy or lack of bankruptcy in their bailout basically wasn't bailing out just AIG. It was bailing out a lot of Wall Street bankers who had money in AIG, but also was bailing out a lot of foreign banks. So really a lot of this is just pointing out the truth and letting people know that. And I think people are very upset when they find out that, you know, very, very wealthy inside bankers in New York as well as across the country and across the world benefited from average middle-class taxpayers like the rest of us having to send money to Washington to bail out AIG. Mm-hmm. What they do is they all gang up and say, oh, it'd be the end of the world if you don't do this. But my dad's always made a good point that all the people who said it would be the end of the world and that there'd be a collapse of the economy were all the same people who didn't predict any of this coming. So we don't have to accept their word at face value, that we have to take their predictions as they were.
Well, thank you, Senator-elect, and we look forward to talking to you when you are in office. This is a great victory for all lovers of liberty. They threw everything they could at you and collectively all of us, and they failed. This could be history if we get Ron Paul in as president, as John Adams, and then down the road, like John Quincy Adams, Rand Paul. Sir, God bless you. Have a great holiday. Say hi to your wife and sons, and say hi to your father and mother. Just God bless you, Senator.
Thank you, Alex.
Amazing. There he goes. Senator Rand Paul. And they pulled their hair out. They did everything they could to stop us, and they failed. And it's like a victory of Washington at Trenton. We're going to have more victories. And hey, some of us aren't going to make it out of this. But in the end, my great-great-great-great-grandchildren are going to be just like Buck Rogers. We're going to the stars, and they're not going to stop us.
We now take you live
to the Central Texas Command Center
in the heart of the resistance. You're listening to the Alex Jones Show.
How will we reverse the tide of tyranny? The special interests globally that go in any nation they wish, buy off the politicians, and then attach themselves to the people's tax money. Got all the special interests. They write the rules to shut down their competition. Evidenced by the fact that 97% of stimulus money to small businesses went to Fortune 500. Evidenced by Obama giving hundreds of waivers to McDonald's and others to not have to get insurance for their employees, but everybody else who has a company is going to be forced to. That's an unfair trade advantage. You know, these are the real forms of discrimination that are taking place in our society. And then in the name of not having discrimination, they say everyone will have the TSA body scan you. Everyone will have the TSA stick their hands down your pants. Everyone will have their rights taken away. Unless you're a member of Congress or a member of the cabinet. No, you get to go around the naked body scanners. And then I see all these news articles. Feds warrantlessly tracking Americans' credit cards in real time. Wired Magazine, they just say, oh, guess what? We're not just spying on you. We're tracking all your credit cards, and we're tracking all your loyalty cards in real time. Here's the Washington Post. Government reports violations of limits on spying aimed at U.S. citizens. So we've gone from 4 years ago, Bush in that press conference, President Bush saying, oh, we don't spy on you without warrants, to just, hey, everything spied on. Well, there's an organization out there fighting it, and it's Liberty Guard, libertyguard.org. And, of course, Bob Barr is the chair and the head of it. We had the president on of Liberty Guard last week. His website's bobbarr.org. He really doesn't need any introduction. Well-known congressman, defender of civil liberties and basic human rights, also ran in 2008 as Libertarian presidential candidate for president, and had a good showing on that front, and certainly got to inject a lot of serious issues into the debate. He joins us for the next 25 minutes. Congressman, good to have you on with us.
Oh, it's always great to be with you all and your many, many listeners out there.
Congressman, let's start at the beginning. How did we go this far where the town I live in has federally run face scanning cameras and license plate readers through the Threat Fusion Center? They have clergy response teams, admittedly, with preachers trained to spy for Homeland Security. That's Associated Press. We have TSA sticking their hands down people's pants and radiating them, but the borders are basically wide open. I'm glad you formed Liberty Guard, and for years have been speaking out against this, but man, you know, folks were like, oh, Bob Barr's kind of a little too concerned 10 years ago. Now people are saying, my God, I mean, are we going to be worse than 1984?
I tell you, the technology that is available nowadays that governments and businesses can use to invade privacy and to data mine goes far beyond anything that George Orwell could have envisioned. So, in some respects, certainly we're not at the point of the totalitarian brutality state that was depicted in 1984. But in terms of the technology that is available to government to invade people's privacy and to control them by taking away their privacy, far exceeds what was available or could be even contemplated back in the 1940s when 1984 was written.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, take the TSA, and I want to see if you concur with me, and then I want you to have some time and go over your view on it and what Liberty Guard is doing. But I saw Ridge 7 years ago when he was head of Homeland Security on C-SPAN in a two-hour roundtable with corporate heads. He said, you'll have to have an ID card to have a job. That's the real ID. He said that it will be internal checkpoints, and now they're out there with the TSA running checkpoints on highways, bus terminals, as you know, Congressman. And now they're saying a no fly, no buy. If they say you can't fly, you can't buy a gun, no judge, no jury, you're put on this Kafka-esque list. I mean, is this not internal checkpoints? Give us your take on that and just the overall spectrum of what's happening with the TSA.
What's happened here, Alex, is we've had a perfect storm. We've seen, and you've seen, of course, because you've spoken out about it for many years, the growth in government power on virtually all fronts, but it accelerated greatly as a result of what happened on September 11th of 2001. And it is that abject fear that has both empowered government to greatly accelerate the steps to control people, to take away their privacy, to gain information, to control them in various ways. And it's that same fear that has made so many Americans virtual sheep in terms of saying, well, if it makes us safer, it's okay. We have to give up some of our freedom in order for government to make us secure. I mean, that is a toxic mixture that has given rise now to the scenario that you've just described, which, for example, just focusing on one very small part of it, and that is the TSA naked body scanners or the very intrusive hand searches. Clearly, these are unconstitutional because they are doing this to people as to whom they have no reasonable suspicion whatsoever that they have done anything wrong or are purporting or attempting, for example, to bring weapons or explosives on an airplane. Also, I think it's important for people to keep in mind, as I know your listeners do, that the freedom to travel, the right to travel in interstate commerce, that is to take a commercial airliner from point A to point B, has been found many years ago by the U.S. Supreme Court to be a fundamental index of freedom, of liberty. Now, are we going to get to the point where the Supreme Court will put a stop to this nonsense? I don't know. Justice Alito on the U.S. Supreme Court, for example, in an opinion a few years ago, seemed to indicate that without some suspicion that an air traveler is doing something wrong or that TSA can articulate a reason why they need to search this particular person beyond the normal screening process is unconstitutional. Whether or not he still believes that, whether or not a majority of the court will so render a decision, I don't know. And even though I'm not terribly hopeful that will happen, it's terribly important that we finally get some resolution of this, to get this teed up so that it can get through the courts.
Well, absolutely, Congressman. But on top of that, we've seen in the last few weeks cases where they want to x-ray a woman's breast milk, or they want another woman to dump her milk out, and they hold up the TSA's own rule book, which is just regulations, but their own rules, and they don't care because so many of these people, it seems, enjoy the exercise of power. Some are polite, but I've seen others that literally treat people worse than, you know, jail guards treat prisoners. It's just incredible. And also, they're supposed to take a medical ID card when they're clearly wanding someone's knee and it's a metal knee or a metal hip. I've talked to Governor Ventura about this. They all know who he is. I've seen him ask for autographs, but then they grab his crotch. I've flown with him right in front of him. Ron Paul was on 2 weeks ago. He said, yes, they grab his crotch. I have sat there and watched nothing but women and children being searched when I was in San Jose. So they also randomly only search certain groups. I mean, this is a complete journey towards submission to these untrained, in many respects, federal goons, Congressman. I mean, this is, as you said, so Orwellian.
We've got here is failure to communicate. Some men you just can't reach. So you get what we had here last week, which is the way he wants it. Well, he gets it. I don't like it any more than you do.
Waging war on corruption. It's Alex Jones.
Look at your young men fighting. Look at your women crying. Look at your young men dying.
Where do you see this fight going? In your gut, do you agree with me that this is something actually that's gone too far, people being sexually violated, and that no matter what the TSA does or how much propaganda they put out or how much intimidation, that if you don't do it, we'll give you $11,000 fines or we'll put you on a no-fly list? I mean, do you see them losing this?
They will lose it. The American people will prevail, but it's going to take a lot of hard work over an extended period of time, Alex. It's not going to be successful. That is to fight for freedom and to rein in this intrusive, overbearing, and unnecessary, unconstitutional government behavior. You can never let up in the fight against government oppression. Never, ever let up. So, you know, it's a constant battle to make sure that the real ID doesn't surface as something else. They'll give it a new acronym and so forth, or they'll fund it partially somewhere and then come back to it again later. But at least for now, that's been a very significant success in fighting government intrusion and unconstitutional behavior. Secondly, even though these are small victories that you just indicated with regard to airline pilots and some loosening of the intrusive searches and the x-rays on certain types of persons, children under and minors and so forth, it's going to take a lot more. I mean, as long as the government is able to have people subject themselves to a naked body scanner, with the only alternative being a grossly invasive manual search, without articulating any suspicion that the person that they're searching, either electronically or manually, has done anything wrong, as long as people are willing to put up with that, it's going to embolden government to continue to press the envelope. I'm also hopeful that the court challenges will be successful. I'm also hopeful that some of the new chairmen coming into Congress, for example, John Mica of Florida, who is likely to be the Transportation Committee chair in the House with responsibility over air travel, and Daryl Issa of California, who is likely to take over as chair of the Government Oversight and Reform Committee, that both of these chairs on the House side will very shortly after taking over their positions, which seems likely as chairman of these two key committees, will hold some real tough and consistent long-term oversight hearings on TSA and what they're doing.
All right, Congressman, a bunch of quick questions in the 12 minutes we've got left with you. Specifically, dealing with some of your FOIA requests that you've put out, Bob Barr investigates TSA stand down on National Opt-Out Day. I mean, if they're saying that this terror threat was so imminent, they had to stick their hands down people's pants and put nuns and little old ladies in naked body scanners, which they've been caught saving, by the way, folks, just continual deception, then isn't that then some type of stand-down or dereliction of duty or fraud? If, as we've now confirmed, even mainstream news has confirmed, but I had employees that flew that day in multiple airports, that they did completely stand down the scanners at most airports. They didn't do the pat-downs. They were just running people through them. At some of the other airports, they just curtailed it and then ran this hoax saying, oh, it was TSA Appreciation Day. No one opted out. I mean, that looks like that could be criminal right there. I mean, shouldn't we have some type of congressional investigation about the stand down, A, and then B, watchdog probes, DHS spying on Drudge, PrisonPlanet.com, Matt Drudge, Alex Jones. The Drudge Report, of course, has been carrying that. Talk about A, the stand down, and B, your FOIA dealing with persecution, because even CNN has reported that they believe their reporters and others have been put on the list after running reports critical.
It's a real problem that we've gotten to the point in this country where if you simply question what the government is doing, you're going to find yourself on the wrong end of that government power. We see it in a number of areas, Alex. We see it when citizens simply use a camera video or a handheld video to record what police are doing in the public arena where they appear to be beating up somebody or taking action that they shouldn't, and having then the police come after the people that are videotaping, recording what is being done. What is being done in the open publicly.
Yeah, there's no perception. I mean, you know, as a congressman and lawyer and everything else, there's no perception of privacy. So why do the cops march over 200 yards and then beat you up and arrest you for videotaping them?
It's a problem, and we see the same thing with regard to some of the folks that have had what seems very clearly to be vindictive retaliation against them by TSA simply for raising some questions or objecting to what's been going on. But the lawsuits hopefully will start clearing some of this up. People need to not be intimidated. They need to be polite. They need to be respectful. I've never urged anybody not to be polite and respectful. If the government appears to be doing something that you know not to be proper and that your rights are being violated, but it's a sad day when people find that simply because they question government authority and what government is doing that they. Then have retaliatory action taken against them.
Well, and Congressman,
this is something that Congress ought to look into.
So this, I'm sorry to interrupt. So that is something Congress should look into.
Absolutely, they should. The two committees that I indicated, the Government Reform Committee that will be chaired by Darrell Issa of California, and the Transportation Committee that will be chaired by John Mica of Florida.
Obviously, you've got some gravitas as a long-serving former congressman, you know, committee chairman. You were also in the CIA for many years. Hopefully they won't ignore your organization's FOIA request. I don't think it should be called a request. It's a demand under law, but they ignore it so often, as you know. But I've tried to get my FBI file, and they won't even respond. I got a lawyer involved. They said national security. Lord knows what's in that thing. Do you think you'll get any success getting this information from the TSA? And if you do, what's the time frame generally?
These things can take a long time, unfortunately, a lot longer than they should. We hope to have the records within 20 days. Although they may respond that it takes longer for some reason or whatnot. I'm hopeful that that we'll get at least some good information from the FOIA request that we sent in on the 29th of November. But we'll just have to wait and see. It is troubling that there certainly appears to be, as you've already indicated, a TSA stand down on the use of the full-body, naked-body scanners on the days that there was a great deal of attention drawn to opting out, even as the TSA was claiming that the use of these scanners is absolutely essential to protect the traveling public. You can't have it both ways.
Amazing. In closing, we see Cass Sunstein at the White House. I'm sure you've seen it, being a civil libertarian, openly saying shut down alternative media, fine or arrest people that question man-made global warming. We've got all these announcements by other czars that they want to restrict free speech. We see these moves by Jay Rockefeller, in his words, we'd be better off never having the internet. He talked about shutting down Fox News in a bizarre statement 2 weeks ago. As the alternative media expands, I see a perfect storm of the old dinosaur media and the government really having an end for the alternative media. What's your take on their moves to start curtailing free speech?
This is always a danger with government, Alex. I remember it. You're a lot younger than I am, but I remember I was working for the government during the Nixon era. Nixon tried this virtually every. The only one I can remember that didn't try anything like this was probably Reagan. But there's constant efforts, Republican or Democratic administrations alike, to control the media. And there are so many more ways to get ideas out in the public arena now. The good news is that those mechanisms are out there, so people do have the power and the ability to be much better informed. But on the other hand, it also provides a lot more mechanisms or vehicles for government to try and control.
Amazing, Congressman.
They're doing it I'm drawing a blank.
Hold on one moment. Hold on one moment.
Big Brother, mainstream media,
government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Charlotte Isserby was the number two person in the Department of Education under Reagan. And what she discovered the bureaucracy was up to even then was amazing. The deliberate dumbing down of our children. She's coming up in the next segment. And by the way, her book is going out of print. We've got the last ones at InfoWars.com. Very powerful information. Finishing up with former Congressman Bob Barr. He heads up LibertyGuard.org and the National Opt-Out movement. And what I like about what they're doing, finishing up with the congressman who's been gracious to join us today in his continued fight for liberty, is that this isn't just like the ACLU who you go throw yourself at the feet of and they might help you. This gives you a type of solidarity and, you know, a well-informed, moderate legal opinion with a card, with your rights, letting the TSA know you're part of an organization, that you're part of a group of people that are informed and that you're not isolated and alone. Congressman, I like the fact that you've got folks out there getting proactive as individuals. Tell us about Liberty Guard.
Liberty Guard is an organization that we formed earlier this year. With a group of very, very good freedom lovers like you, Alex, to educate the American people with regard to much of what government is doing, not just the TSA, but other government agencies, the privacy invasions and so forth, the evils of the growth of big government, the corresponding loss of freedom. And one of the projects that we've taken on, as we've discussed here a little bit today, is the opt-out alliance. This is costs nothing for people to get their opt-out alliance air traveler's rights card. They can get that by going directly to Liberty Guard, www.libertyguard.org. They can get it by going to Bob Barr's website, my website, bobbarr.org. We have a link. Or they can go directly to optoutalliance.org. It's simply important for people to go to the Opt-Out Alliance website simply to let us know, to sign up, get your free card so that you know what your rights are, but also to let other freedom-loving Americans know that that you're on board to take a stand against this.
Absolutely. In closing, you got cut off by the break. You were getting into the move towards censorship of media that, from my research, I've never seen in this country be as intense. Finish up that statement about 1 minute, and we'll let you get back to work.
It isn't just government going after media and new media outlets, the alternative media and the internet and so forth. It's all of the above, and the so-called net neutrality law or regulations that the FCC is pushing right now is part and parcel of that. The government, as you know, almost always tries to couch its steps to take away liberty as liberty enhancing. You know, it's sort of the Orwellian or bizarro world approach to government. But people need to watch out for this net neutrality law and the regulations as well.
Yeah, I've read the new FCC regulations, and obviously you have, because you're accurately, from my view, addressing it. It claims, oh, we're going to protect the internet, but when you read it, it's the FCC declaring regulation of the internet. And when you get into the fine print of what they've said, they want to start taxing it, tracking it, make you have an ID, and that would be the end of the internet as we know it. Former Congressman Bob Barr of LibertyGuard.org, also bobbarr.org. Thank you for coming on the broadcast. We look forward to speaking to you as this story and other stories unfold.
Absolutely. Thank you and your listeners, Alex.
Thank you, Congressman. There goes Bob Barr. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to come back with Charlotte Isserby, an amazing lady who I haven't had on in several years. With her book, The Deliberate Dumbing Down of America, available at InfoWars.com. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Stay with us. The transmission continues. Key Intel straight ahead. I am really excited about having our guest on. And, of course, he's Dr. Joseph Marcola. And he's done so many amazing things. I don't even know here with his bio where to start. But he reaches millions of people every week with his website and his organizations. And so I know he didn't like to toot his own horn. But in a couple minutes, Dr. Marcola, before we launch into all this key information, what's most important for folks to know about you who may not know who you are?
Well, I'm the founder of Marcola.com, which now currently is the third most visited health site in the world. We're right behind the National Institutes of Health and WebMD, and we just passed Mayo Clinic. So we're number three in the world, and it gives us a platform to really educate people about the fraud and deception that's occurring from the drug industry and the food industry.
And you have made significant milestones in your mission to bring people practical solutions to their health problems. New York Times bestselling author Dr. Marcola was also involved in the 2009 Ultimate Wellness Game Changer by the Huffington Post and has been featured in Time Magazine, LA Times, CNN, Fox News, you name it. We're honored to have you with us. Again, Marcola, MERCOLA.com. And the reason you're the most respected of all the alternative health researchers, in my opinion, is because you just go off the real research, and there's so much to cover. But what can you say about, I mean, my view, I don't know if it's your view, but certainly from what I see on the ground, there is a collapse of confidence in the system. Everything we talked about last year about the H1N1 lowering your immunity, being dangerous, that's now mainstream news, British Medical Journal. I mean, there is a collapse of confidence in this corrupt system. And the establishment is responding in a lot of strange ways, but it does look like the dam has broken. What's your view on that?
Well, I think we're making progress. There still is a large contingency of the public who is still fooled and deceived by the very effective marketing tactics that these industry employ. I mean, they literally generate many tens, if not hundreds of billions of dollars in profit, and they're able to really hire the most sophisticated and clever marketers on the planet. So it's a really sophisticated system, and it's really difficult to break out of that mold. But once you yourself have an injury or the system fails you, then you're really seeking more sound, logical, rational alternatives that really don't rely on expensive and toxic approaches that could literally kill you.
And I see the statistics and the numbers of 300,000 dying from drug interactions, hundreds of thousands from infections. I mean, boy, I tell you, this mainline healthcare is one of the biggest killers out there, rivaling even automobile accidents. On your radar screen, what do you see as the biggest threats out there? Is it sodium fluoride in the water, bisphenol A, GMO, cell phone radiation? I mean, you cover it all. And the stuff, as I said earlier, you were covering 10 years ago, is now just all over the mainstream news.
Well, it's a good question. I'm not sure if there's anyone that sticks out. It's really a combination of them, but I think probably it's just the concept and the belief that the traditional model is the approach for healthcare challenges, and that is the relying on a drug, and we're bombarded on that, of course, from the media. They spend over $16 billion a year to do direct-to-consumer advertising on TV, and, you know, the United States is only one of two countries in the world that allows it, where it's even legal. So it's they've really manipulated the public to the belief system that this is the approach, because these drugs are almost universally going to cause some type of side effect, if not death. I mean, it's routine. I mean, Avandia has just killed 80,000 people. Before that, Vioxx killed 60,000. And these are the ones that we know that are really in the news. I mean, there's dozens of others that are less toxic. So, it's so much, it's choosing that system and that approach, and you're ignoring the basic practical strategies that one can use, which of course doesn't generate profit and revenue for these large industries. So I think it's a belief in that model that's the most dangerous threat. Yeah.
Well, I agree with you. And when I watch these drug ads, it's absurdist. It's like they're openly admitting this drug is probably going to kill you. Oh, you're having trouble sleeping, or you're having trouble, you know, needing to urinate a lot. And they'll tell you 10 seconds how great it is, but then they say it may not be right for you, causes heart attack, sudden death, brain damage. I mean, it's bizarre. And then ask your doctor about this drug. I mean, it's Sometimes I'm pinching myself, wondering if I'm having a bad dream.
It almost seems that way, doesn't it? Like, it really is. If you go to any other country in the world, you're not going to see the entity except for Australia. There's only two countries in the world that allow that. You look at these, and it's been on for 15 years, but prior to 1995, those ads did not exist in the media. It was illegal. But then they lobbied Congress, and they were able to get permission to air those.
Meanwhile, they're always waging war against alternative medicine or even vitamins and minerals. Now they're demonizing, vitamin D. It just gets crazier and crazier.
Well, it wasn't so much a demonizing, but the Institute of Medicine came out with a report last week which really essentially ignored the stacks of new studies and research that promote that establish vitamin D as a very useful approach in over 2,000 diseases. And they only focused on bone health, which we've known about for about 100 years, and they ignored all the rest of the research, and virtually no vitamin D experts were on the panel. It was really a travesty. So, it's hard to nail a specific conspiracy, but there's some actually lawsuits against this recommendation because it's really deceiving the public and not allowing them to fully utilize this incredible resource, which is about one of the least expensive vitamins you can possibly purchase and one that has probably the most significant impact on your health.
Sure, but I mean, by demonized, I was thinking of Dr. Dean Adell, who I listened to him, and just almost everything he says is patently false, and he was just flipping out and saying that, it's bad to take most vitamins and that we don't need them, but then I look at all the studies about vitamin and mineral deficiency and what a big problem it is. Doc, going through the articles that I see you posting and that your great researchers are putting together that link to all the mainline medical studies that are out there, it's not just bisphenol A we've got to worry about. You've been reporting on the other chemicals that are in the liners of the wrappers around hamburgers and other things that are causing serious problems. Can you go over what bisphenol A and these other chemicals are and what the studies show they're doing?
Well, the article you're referring to, we posted last week, a study that came out that showed that these wrappers, which are usually put in place to prevent the grease and oils in the fast food from leaking out, as they would if you use regular paper, there's these sticky coatings, and you see some of it too also on the microwavable popcorn. So the way they're able to do that is really similar to how they achieve a nonstick surface, which is they put a fluorinated chemical compound, and this fluorine compound actually dissociates and it migrates into the food. So you're actually eating these compounds when you do that, and that's definitely not going to be...
Fluorine, that sounds like fluoride.
Yes, well, it's a fluoride compound, there's no question.
Well, they just love to give us fluoride, I guess because they love us.
Well, it's a pretty useful chemical. It's a really interesting innovation to have a material that you can fry food with and not stick, but it does it at quite a price. I typically, when I'm lecturing, tell people if they have any non-stick finishes to either find a relative or a neighbor they don't like and give it to them because the stuff is toxic as heck. But actually, it's not that toxic as long as you don't heat it. But the moment you heat it, you start to volatilize this fluoride, and it goes into a gas, and it can cause health problems. And it's so much so that if you're in an enclosed environment, you can actually kill pet birds. I mean, this stuff is really toxic.
Oh, I'm sure it's an accident they're doing this. Also, they report on the bisphenol A is in most, or 40%, and they said, 60% of the printer ink. So I guess I'm touching it right here, right now. I mean, this stuff is just everywhere.
Well, and it's sort of stealth, too. And when you go to the grocery store and you get these receipts, it's on those receipts. So, you want to really minimize your contact with those.
Now, the good news is, four states have passed laws to start restricting this, at least for children. They're pointing out that it's in the baby bottles, as, again, you did a decade ago plus. So we're starting to move in a good direction, but now we're finding out that this stuff is just everywhere.
It's pervasive. There's no question it is. And aside from the bisphenol A, you have the phthalates, which is a chemical that's added in the manufacturing of plastic to make it pliable. So any plastic that's flexible will have these phthalates in there. And that's another chemical that's loaded with complications. And that also should be banned.
From the front lines of the information war. It's Alex Jones.
So, Dr. Mercola, you get the same intel that I'm receiving. I mean, they admit in the media that thyroid dysfunction is off the charts. Perhaps you can talk about those numbers, but just women everywhere, talk show hosts, you name it, young women, I hear them talking about it, and I see women all over the place. You can see their hair falling out. I mean, how much more obvious does this poisoned environment have to get? Please continue breaking that down.
Well, the bulk of the people that experience this are women. My guess is it's certainly the majority of women, but perhaps 75-80% of women have some challenge with it. And if your listeners are interested in finding out if they have a problem, you can certainly go online, our website, or Google it and find out what the symptoms are. But there's a blood test you can take. It's called TSH, which is short for thyroid stimulating hormone. And, of course, the normal conventional lab test normal ranges are off. But if your lumber comes back below 1.5, then it's okay. If it's above 1.5, it'll be most likely you have a problem. But you'll be told that you're okay if it's below 5. So there's this range where almost all the conventional doctors are misunderstanding and misinterpreting the results. So it's far more common than traditionally believed.
So what do you do? Get off these things that have the fluorines and fluorides in it. Stop using the non-stick. Stop drinking out of the bisphenol A. Stop drinking the fluoridated water. Stop bathing in it. Are there ways to heal?
No fluoride toothpaste and, you know, the flour. You know, you can't have brominated flour. That's definitely
no bleach flour.
Right, bro. It'll say brominated on it. So, though, you know, you have to stop the assaults to your body. That's one. But then the detoxification can be somewhat of a challenge. And, you know, the key thing is if you have serious thyroid issues, most likely you're placed on a synthetic version of thyroid hormone, which is called most commonly Synthroid or Levothyroid. But these are not the best. The best is a natural thyroid hormone, which is called typically armor thyroid or desiccated thyroid, which will solve the problem and allow you to start a process.
Is that the one that's from cows?
Yes, it's typically from cows, right? Or pigs. I think it's from pigs. Yeah, it's porcine. From pigs.
I don't know. I just did some research and saw them promoting and selling desiccated cow thyroid. But I'm saying
I think that's a better one, but it's somewhat hard to find.
Ah.
Yes, the most armor thyroid is from pigs.
And I guess you go to a doctor or a clinic, and then they test your blood.
Those are prescription. Yeah, most of the time you're going to get the test through a licensed healthcare professional, and those specific supplements do happen to be prescription, at least in the United States. Of course, you can be creative and go online and purchase these things overseas without a prescription.
And then the women start to see their hair come back from the research I've looked at. But you notice when you search these terms, you mainly find people that want to do hair restoration or they want to sell you minoxidil. They don't want to tell you, you know, it's just like mainline medical science. They want to treat the illness instead of, or treat the symptoms instead of actually treating the underlying cause, correct?
That tends to be the common pattern, yes.
Boy, that is cold-blooded. So for all you women out there wondering why your hair is falling out at age 30, now you know. Are there any other causal things that people can knock out? From your research, I mean, how much of the women's hair comes back?
Well, it's variable. A good percentage of them will. And one of the other components that really is an important element, and really what I believe is the primary cause of obesity in this country, and it's, you know, it's clear and obvious that you walk down any urban city and you'll find that 2 out of 3 people are overweight. I mean, it's really a massive epidemic that we're engulfing, and it's relatively recent, and I believe it's related to the manufacture of fructose done cheaply when they figured the scientists figured how to do that in the mid 70s, and it's just pervaded the food supply. So this fructose as a sugar is just absolutely horrendous.
Now let's talk about high fructose, because now they're running ads where the smart woman, because they know women buy about 80% of the products, it's always a woman telling a man off or telling another woman off that, oh, it's a conspiracy theory that high fructose is bad. Corn syrup is good for you. But then there's all these mainline studies with the diabetes and what it does to our metabolic systems. Dr. Mercola, break down what the high fructose is doing, why it's different from sugar.
Well, sugar or sucrose, which you can get from canes or beet, it used to be the common way that we got sugar in this country, is really similar. There's not a lot of difference between the two, because simple sugar is 50% fructose and 50% glucose or dextrose. So from that perspective, it's a problem. And if you get high fructose corn syrup, it's about the same ratio. There are two differences. One is in high fructose corn syrup, it's a simple sugar and it's dissociated. It's not bonded together with the glucose. So it's absorbed a little more quickly. But the primary reason why it's such a problem is it's so darn cheap. And people, food manufacturers are putting into everything. So the numbers are going through the roof of what people are consuming. You know, in 1900, Alex, the average person only consumed about 15 grams of fructose. And that was mostly in the forms of fruits, healthy fruits. But now, about 25% of the population is consuming more than 135 grams a day, well more than 10 times what the average person was consuming a mere 100 years ago. So it has significant metabolic problems, and you know that. So if you have a problem, challenge with your thyroid, or really any health problem, cancer, high blood pressure, diabetes, high cholesterol, one of the most important things you can do is get off the fructose. And the most common, you know, this is really a shock, and I'm sure many of your listeners realize this, but the most common source of calories in the United States, the most common source is fructose, typically in the form of a soda. So that's a simple thing to eliminate, and once you get that out of your diet, then you know your health starts moving in the right direction. So you got to hit the basics. That's really essential.
Dr. Joseph Mercola is our guest, and we're going to tell you more about his website as we talk to him. I want to go to some calls here soon. It's mercola.com. Take control of your health. Just amazing research and information. More and more mainline studies are having to admit in the U.S., in Europe, as you know, that frequency pollution is a big problem. And that the studies are showing with pregnant women, you name it, it's really causing serious issues with the fetuses. From your wide spectrum research, give us your brief take on frequency pollution.
Well, these are definitely a challenge because we're going to explosion. Most people don't realize that cell phones are a relatively recent innovation. You know, before 25 years ago, they didn't exist anywhere in the world. And, you know, I think it was in the mid-90s or late 90s that we had 1 billion cell phones, and then we're up to 4 billion now. So this is a relatively recent exposure to this radiation. And just like smoking, I think that's really the most powerful and simple analogy, these exposures don't cause a problem acutely. In other words, it takes time to have this exposure before you're going to notice the difference. You don't get lung cancer after smoking one pack of cigarettes. You know, it takes many years, if not decades, to have that exposure before you have a problem and a complication. So similarly, exposure to these cell phones is going to take 5, 10, 20, 30 years before you're going to see an increase in the consequences and the health problems. And the primary ones are going to be brain cancers. And we're already seeing this today. But it's going to be exploding. It's going to be just like lung cancer exploded. We're going to see an explosion in brain cancers because of the use of these cell phone devices.
Well, it's being reported, again, like AP, Reuters, you name it, that they're already seeing that. And then you'll see the cell phone makers come out and say, well, we don't completely agree with that, and it's not conclusive. It sounds just like the cigarette makers.
We've got it. This transmission is coming to you.
Waging war on corruption.
All right, you are go.
It's Alex Jones, coming to you live from the front lines of the info war.
Now we see the You've got it.
Even a decade ago, saying we didn't know this caused cancer. We're not even saying it does cause cancer. And you go back 50 years ago, they said, they had doctors on TV and lab coats going, having a sore throat? Smoke an extra merit.
Sure. And the telecommunications industry is a far bigger and more powerful industry than the tobacco industry. There's no comparison. I think it may be one order of magnitude larger. So they have a lot more income and power to play with and manipulate the perception.
What are some of the, I mean, there's so many things to talk about. What are some of the other things that are on your radar?
Well, I, I, you know, I really believe that the reliance on drugs as a solution for health is a problem. One of the primary issues that we face, and the most significant concern, is that it's becoming progressively more expensive for the drug companies to actually have these drugs approved, and then even once they're approved, then they have to defend lawsuits, typically resulting in billions, if not tens of billions of dollars for the consequences of people taking them. So there's this gradual, because of those two elements, there's this gradual shift towards a model where they're not using drugs anymore, they're going to be using vaccines, which, because of legislation passed, 25 years ago, they are exempted from any prosecution, and they're a lot easier to pass. So, they're going to manipulate the whole system so that they're actually not voluntary, so that they become mandatory. So there's tens of billions of dollars of profit. There's this gradual shift. I mean, there's probably hundreds or more vaccines that are in the pipeline right now for targeting for our population, and that's definitely a concern.
I just learned something new. I mean, I know about all the new classes of vaccines that cure depression and that's
or
in quotes,
smoking.
Or smoking or cocaine or anger or vaccines that make you calm and not have anxiety anymore. And I go read the different patents. Most of them are literally genetically engineered viruses or the equivalent of nanotech that go in and destroy the neurons so that you can't even receive those different chemicals in your brain. I mean, this is the equivalent of a viral a lobotomy. They have other types that create plaques, other types that then attack hormones. And I want you to speak to this, but I had never put two and two together. That's why they admit they're moving almost exclusively to vaccines, because that'll be the new delivery system via manipulation of your body, of pharmakia, and they've got this body of law with the Vaccine Damage Fund and the national security angle. That is nightmarish. So what specifically can you say about them coming out and saying, look, we got a vaccine that will cure you being upset, but then it blocks your endorphins? I mean, this is scary.
Well, it's this immunity from prosecution that's the most concerned, because they can really sell these things. And in the case of last year of the swine flu, which I think is, you know, our site's been around for 12 years, but I think our most significant contribution is really being a primary catalyst for educating consumers that the vaccine was nonsense. And as a result of that, 70% of the U.S. public chose not to get the vaccine, despite the president coming out.
And you were vindicated, because everything you and many others talked about came out to be absolutely right and more.
Sure. The right is, it's so easy to predict these things, Alice. I mean, especially with the flus, because all we have to do is look at Australia, which is literally 6 months ahead of us. And you look at their experience, and we're going to exactly replicate it. There's no mystery. This is not rocket science.
That's right. They had deaths. They had massive brain damage, neurological.
And they didn't have the epidemics that they were projecting. So, I mean, you can predict these things 6 months ahead with virtually 100% accuracy. But they don't want you to understand that. So it's pretty simple stuff once you understand the basics.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Almost all flus start in the other hemisphere or in Asia. So we really should always know what type of flu is coming around the bend and any type of...
And the flu or any infectious disease, for the most part, is not something to be distressed about, because if you're following healthy lifestyles, and if you go to my site, just on the homepage, we've got a whole 40-page report on how you can, there's no charge for how you can optimize your lifestyles based on beginner, intermediate, or advanced models. And one of the most important things you can do is optimize your vitamin D levels. We touched on it earlier, but, I mean, if your vitamin D levels are normal or optimal, over 50 nanograms per milliliter, you're going to be resistant to the vast majority of infectious disease. And if you're cutting out the sugar and you're exercising, you're sleeping well, drinking clean water, staying away from toxins, it's virtually impossible to get sick. I mean, just don't get sick. So you don't forget about the vaccines. You don't have to worry about even any downtime, any cough, colds, or flus when winter comes. And I can't tell you, you know, it's just almost universal, the responses that we get from people who adopt these strategies and change their lifestyle, and they can experience this, you know, relief from these infectious diseases.
But then going back to what happened last year, as you know, but I'd like you to speak to this, Dr. Mercola. They did Canadian studies and others that showed if you took the H1N1 vaccine, it lowered your immunity by 50% to the regular seasonal.
Yeah.
Quantify that from what Dr. Blaylock and others have said here, medical doctors, that basically it your body gets overwhelmed, then it doesn't know how to respond to a real threat.
You're absolutely correct. it, the studies have conclusively proven that it actually increases your risk for getting the regular seasonal flu. So what do you think they did in the United States, and I think in most other countries of the world, with the flu vaccine this year? They combined them both, and you don't have a choice. If you get one, you get the other. So it's beyond crazy what they're doing, but it makes perfect sense if you're one of the executives of the drug industry, because you're going to be reaping profits.
And obviously, they want a captive audience. They go lobby billions of dollars to your state and federal legislature, and more we're seeing the government attempt to try to force vaccines on people, and they're coming out with hundreds of new vaccines. As you pointed out, medicine is shifting over almost entirely to vaccines because of the liability protection. This is a nightmare, but at the same time, record low numbers of people took the flu shot. It's starting the same thing this year. How do you see the system striking back? I mean, they want to make their hundreds of billions, and because of Mercola and InfoWars.com and all the other great people out there, folks are waking up. What do you see the establishment doing?
I don't know. I don't really get into those projections too much, but, you know, they're going to come out. I mean, they're going to want to try. I think the immediate threat is they're going to make it mandatory, and we're partnering with one of the top pro-vaccine safety sites in the world, which is the National Vaccine Information Center, NDIC.org, and we're really developing a massive consumer awareness component where we're lobbying for people to get together in their own local communities and hit their state legislators so they will prevent this from happening. But I think that's the next big battle, is to make sure right now that we don't shift to a mandatory vaccine system, because right now we have the freedom to choose not to get them, even though they're essentially, the freedom is somewhat nullified if you have a child who's going to school, because they're going to prevent entry into most school systems unless you're vaccinated. But you can always homeschool, or you can go to a state that doesn't require it and has a philosophical exemption. So it's not as bad as it could be, that's for sure, if they get these mandatory vaccines. Laws get passed.
We're going to break here in a moment. We're going to come back and take a few calls for Dr. Joseph Mercola. But briefly, what are you seeing on the front of GMO crops, cross-species chimeras, like the GMO salmon, the move to not even let us know if it's GMO in the stores?
Well, it's a big issue. I think we're going to be very successful in that. We're partnering with Jeffrey Smith, who was just on Dr. Oz yesterday, and got a very favorable response. But it's just providing people, the consumers can make the choice here. If they can vote with their pocketbooks once they understand the issue, they can actually choose not to purchase this. And just like they did in Europe, once their profits go down, the people who are the industries who are manufacturing this, they will choose not to. So we can easily defeat that without any legislation, without any governmental intervention. It's a really simple process.
Amazing. Dr. Mercola is our guest. Briefly, as we go to break, what are some of the other things that you're looking at right now?
Well, it's one of the most exciting ones. Fluoride is a big issue. And then also mercury, which is another toxin, of course. And we're working with Charlie Brown for the Consumers for Dental Choice to help outlaw mercury amalgams in the United States, which is one of our big projects.
So free humanity is on the march, but Big Pharma and their witch doctor cartels, they're striking back. I'm Alex Jones. This is the GCN Radio Network, GCNLive.com. We're going to try to keep Dr. Mercola for a couple more segments to take your calls, and I'm going to get into a big news blitz on WikiLeaks, the economy, and a lot more. Stay with us. We are back live, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us. You know, we're talking about bisphenol A, one of hundreds of things in our environment hurting us. The federal government admits just a little bit of it on your finger massively lowers male fertility. Oh, I'm sure that makes John P. Holdren, who openly says he wants to sterilize us, the White House science czar, very upset. But here's medical news today. 95% of U.S. paper money tainted with bisphenol A, and it goes on to say that it's in plastic bottles, it's locked in. So it's the microwaving and things that really releases it. But in the money, it's just like the printer ink. It comes right off on you. I mean, Dr. Mercola, does it ever end?
Well, it's a challenge. I mean, there's certainly some benefits of living in an advanced industrial society, but, you know, it comes at a price. So you need to be diligent about what those risks are and minimize your exposures.
Now, getting back to the question I launched right before the break, what's your view on that point?
Well, some of the diseases you mentioned certainly are as a result of exposure to these toxins and environmental hazards. You know, the ones that come to mind would be some of the mercury's exposure and vaccines and the other contaminants that are vaccines, aluminum. And then, of course, the dietary influences and lack of vitamin D is massive because, you know, we're not designed to swallow vitamin D. We're designed to get it from the sun. But most of us in the winter, that's not really a practical option. So it's a combination of factors. But one of the things I want to mention while I'm remembering is some of the new research that's come out that's really pretty intriguing because Alzheimer's, as you mentioned, is an increasing epidemic and to the point where more than one in three people are projected to eventually have this. And it's not pretty to lose your mind. But we're finding that one of the best things to do is follow a healthy lifestyle, exercise, get your vitamin D levels up, avoid the sugar. But also, even if you have Alzheimer's, what's been found recently to be highly effective is coconut oil. And about a tablespoon a day has been shown to produce massive improvement in a number of people and really get their sanity back and their brain functioning, which is really quite extraordinary to consider how simple food like this can have such a powerful benefit.
Well, I mean, isn't food really the original medicine? I mean, it's what we're designed to eat.
Well, there seems to be some specific benefit to coconut with respect to how it biochemically interacts in the brain and providing sort of bypasses to some of the dysfunction that occurs in advanced degenerative brain disease. So it's particularly intriguing. I couldn't agree more. And you know, one of the good strategies you could also use, and I highly recommend people consider, would be organic vegetable juice. You know, good 8 to 16 ounces a day of fresh organic vegetables. Not so much the fruits, but the vegetables, the green ones, with a base of celery, cucumbers, and adding some lime to decrease the bitterness of some of the dark greens like kale and collards, and really provide a whole bath of beneficial phytochemicals that will really push your body towards health.
We've all got to make the commitment. You know, back over 10 years ago, I was in really good shape, and then I just got out of shape, and it's very hard to get back into shape and start eating properly again, but I'm slowly moving there. But it's something that freedom lovers all have to do. I mean, this revolution against tyranny starts with our bodies. Let's take another call from Donna in California. We got to move quick now. Donna, you're on the air with Dr. Joseph Mercola. Go ahead.
Oh, great. Hi, Alex.
Hi.
First-time caller. Hi, Dr. Mercola.
Hi.
I'm here in Palm Springs, California, as you said. I'm just very excited to be on air, and I appreciate you taking my call. And I'm a first-time subscriber. Just started listening to you, and I'm spreading the word. Just wanted to let you know that I'm out calling these companies about the bisphenol A and all this other stuff. So I try to do one or two a day before I go to work.
Awesome.
Anyway, I just want to thank you, and I appreciate you guys, and keep up the good work. And if there's anything I can do, give me a call.
All right. Well, anyway, you're a sweetheart. Do you have any questions for our...
I do, Alex. Thanks. I was curious about, because you've talked about the bisphenol A and the plastics, and I'm looking at my cupboards and my storage, and I've got all these canned goods and things that are in plastic. Is there a way to know exactly which ones to get rid of? And, you know, is there a list of plastic companies or whatever we shouldn't be using?
Well, that's another great point. The little juice boxes, most of the things like Capri Sun, you name it, they have plastic lining in them, and a lot of them, it's made of bisphenol A. Correct, Dr. Mercola?
Yeah, the general principle is, and it's important to understand that 90% of the money that Americans spend on foods is for processed foods. And when you process the foods, there's a risk because you have to package it in a way that's going to store it. And most of these packaging materials are fraught with danger. So, you know, occasionally exposure is not going to be a big issue, but on a regular basis, you really want to move away from that and find foods that are packaged in glass. That's a key thing. And another element that is commonly overlooked is that these vegetables and fruits, once you package them and process them, normally they have methanol, but it's combined with pectin in the fruit or vegetable. And if you eat it raw or fresh, it's not a problem. But once you package it, this methanol gradually dissociates. And methanol is another term for wood alcohol, and it can cause significant neurological complications. So really the general take-home message is stay away from processed foods as much as possible. Make your foods fresh.
You know, I didn't know that till a few months ago, but correct me if I'm wrong. What you're saying is that when you take canned peaches or whatever the case may be, the natural things in it starts breaking down into something toxic.
Well, it's liberated. Normally, it's connected in a way that doesn't cause a problem in your body because it doesn't have an enzyme to dissociate it, but it breaks down spontaneously once it's processed over time. So the longer it is, the worse the problem, and you can have significant complications. In fact, many researchers believe it's a primary factor for the cause of multiple sclerosis and other autoimmune diseases.
Amazing. Donna, God bless. Let's talk to Larry in California. Larry, you're on the air. Go ahead, Larry.
Hello, Alex.
Hey.
Hey, Alex, I'm an ex-convict there, and I'm telling you, man, quit bad-mouthing us ex-convicts here in California.
All right, Larry, I appreciate your call. I know that's a prank call. I don't really talk too much about ex-convicts, but good to hear from you, Larry. Let's talk to Chris in Maryland. We don't screen our calls, folks. Chris in Maryland, you're on the air with Dr. Mercola.
Hey, guys, I'm finally glad to finally get on. It's hard to get on here, but my question for your guest is that I was seriously operated on by the military, and I have a feeling that I might be a goner, but if martial law is called, I told my wife and kids that we will bug out of here to get away from the populated areas, and since they took out my terminal ileum and I have B12 deficiency, is there some way that I can bypass that to get the B12, because I have a feeling if I don't get it, I'll be a dead man?
Well, eventually you'll die, but before that you'll become blind and develop other neurological complications. But you're right, the B12 is a very large vitamin, the largest ones we know of, and it's required to combine with intrinsic factor and be observed in the terminal ileum, which has been surgically resected in your case. So the bypass of that is to take an injectable form of vitamin B12 once a week or so, or on our site, we actually have a spray, which you just spray under your tongue that's absorbed sublingually, and it bypasses the expense and inconvenience of having to do a shot every week. So, but you can't swallow it. It won't be absorbed. So that's the key.
Okay, so, but will it still get into my body without an injection? I mean, can I use that
if
as
you, if you spray it sublingually, it will. Because
okay.
Underneath your tongue.
Alex,
you know, but
if it goes into your saliva glands, correct?
Yeah, well, there's a capillaries underneath your tongue that just is a direct absorption into the bloodstream, so you don't have to absorb it through your...
Yeah, that's why folks chew tobacco. It's a great way to get the drug in.
Yeah.
Way that you can put out the information, Alex, where I can get some of this or some of us who have this problem?
Absolutely. I just said Mercola website, .com has it, and there's a lot of other products out there, so I appreciate your call. Let's go ahead now and talk to Gabriel in Mass. Gabriel, you're on the air.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Hey, Alex. I want to talk about GMO. Soy and corn, about 90% of everything we buy in the stores is got... Forgive me, I'm really nervous, okay?
We're almost out of time, though. Go ahead.
About everything in the stores you buy has got genetically modified soy or corn derivatives. Or resistant, it's got pesticide-resistant bacteria in it, and it stays in our gut.
Yes.
And the animals that eat it, if we eat these animals, and yeah.
Yeah, we're in deep trouble. I appreciate your call. It is incredible. In closing, Dr. Mercola, comment on what he was saying.
Well, GMO is an issue. It's in over 90% of the corn and soy. So you really want to avoid those foods. And really, you can go to our site. We've got just type that in, and Jeffrey Smith has put together a GMO-free shopping guide so that you can vote with your pocketbook and not purchase these products. And that's going to be the most powerful action you can take as a consumer to get this stuff off the market.